Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Once it became apparent that the marriage was going to end in divorce and there wasn't going to be another alternative, then I was able to kind of transition that motivation to myself and my girls, my daughters, that yeah, I knew, hey, if at some point you're going to be divorced, at some point you're going to have a life outside of this marriage construct that you've known for most of your adult life. And so if you're going to be healthy enough to have a relationship with somebody else in the future, if that's in the cards, or just to be a good father and friend and all of the other roles, you need to get healthy on your own, and you need to fix that relationship that's quite honestly starts between, you know, with me and God. And that is the relationship that I needed to fix primarily first. And through recovery, that's the work that I've been doing.
Are you ready to talk to me? My name is Deborah Falada, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, national speaker, and author. Through my blog, books, and podcast, I have the privilege of helping millions of people get healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. The purpose of this podcast is to have on-air, authentic, counseling-style sessions where we talk about how people are really doing and give my guests and callers an opportunity to talk to me as a licensed professional counselor. Each of these episodes is meant to show you that we are all on the journey of healing, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally, together. None of us are immune to the challenges and struggles of life, but we don't have to walk this path alone. I'm so proud and honored to be having these conversations with men and women who are courageously paving the way for open and honest conversations about their personal journey of healing. So if you're ready, let's talk. Today on the podcast, I'm excited to have Andrew joining us from Texas. Andrew, it's good to have you.
Thank you, Deborah. It's very good to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. What is it that you want to talk to me about today?
Yeah, absolutely. The question I had was about healing, specifically healing from a past relationship, having gone through a divorce last year after about 18 years of marriage, and what that looks like for someone as they process through that, go through the healing process, and how do they know when they've maybe, you know, I don't know if that ever reaches an end point, but maybe reach the point where, hey, I'm ready to maybe even move on to dating, or just ready to kind of have put that piece of your life in the past.
Yeah. Okay. So you were married for 18 years.
Yes.
That's quite a significant amount of time.
Yeah, it was.
And how long have you been divorced now?
So we separated, officially separated last November of 2022. And we were separated for about a year. And then the divorce was finalized last December. So it's been about a month officially of the divorce, but the separation lasted for about a year.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Where do you think you are in your healing journey?
I would say I'm in a better place now than I was through the separation, for sure. The one thing that I still struggle with at times is certainly feelings of regret over the loss. We have three daughters, school-age children, wonderful daughters. And so a lot of that emotion is tied up in kind of what they're going through, and certainly a sense of like guilt and regret over what their life looks like moving forward. And so I think personally, I have at least come to the place where I've made my peace with the divorce and that the relationship is over. What that looks like moving forward for my life, that's still an area that, you know, I'm not quite sure of, and especially with the children.
Yeah. Actually. Yeah. You know, I think this is a complicated question in some ways, because everybody's journey after divorce looks so different. But I think if I had to narrow it down to one thing, I would say a huge portion of healing comes down to being able to look back and figure out where you played a role in the cycle that led to divorce so that you can take ownership and do it differently in the future. No matter what the situation was, when it comes to conflict between two people, everybody has a role that they perpetuate, a role that they kind of cycle through. And the majority of times when it comes to relationship and marriage conflict, you can see a set pattern. It might not be the exact same fight every time, the exact same conflict every time, but there's themes to that conflict. And in that theme, I have a role, you have a role. So what was my role in perpetuating the cycle? What did I learn? What could I have done differently? And what will I do differently moving forward? And I think when you can begin to answer that question and really, really wrestle with it, figure out why it is you had that role in the cycle, and your actions and reactions, your feelings and your thoughts underneath the surface, that shows me that you're moving along on the healing journey. So let me just put you on the spot here. As you look back, what would you say that role was for you?
As far as the responsibility goes for the break in the marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And when I look back, I think that I take on a lot of the responsibility personally. I feel a lot of that responsibility. And I think a lot of that had to do with I had a prior addiction problem that I've been in recovery for a while now. And that issue manifested itself in the way that I dealt with my emotions. I was not very good at dealing with my emotions in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And so I could be very distant. I could be very easily frustrated, easily stressed out because I wasn't happy with myself because of the issues that I was struggling with. And so because I was often angry and stressed out at myself, that often came out as anger and frustration with my ex-wife. And she took a huge brunt of that throughout our relationship. And I think what she perceived from me was a general sense of just that she was not enough.
Yeah.
Whatever she did or didn't do, it wasn't enough for me at any level, because that's kind of what she was receiving from me, despite not to say that, we didn't have good times or that there wasn't good connection at times, but because of the way that I handled my stress and my emotions, it was just, I think on her end, this constant perception of like, I don't know what version of him I'm going to get. Is he going to be angry? Is he going to be frustrated? Is he stressed out? Is he not stressed out? Why is he? I don't understand.
Right.
And so I think that was a big part of what eventually drove that wedge between us.
I appreciate your courage and honesty in sharing that. And it's a big deal to kind of acknowledge your role. It takes a lot. And I understand that now that you're at this point in the situation, you do have a lot of reflecting that you have to do and really kind of think through what you could do differently. So I really appreciate that. Let me dig a little bit further. When you say addiction, are we talking addiction to alcohol? Are we talking sexual addiction, porn? Like, what are we talking about with addiction?
Yeah, it was a pornography addiction. Absolutely. And that was something that I brought into the marriage that my ex-wife didn't know about, at the time. And she, she eventually did find out. I eventually did tell her about 5 years into the marriage. But, she was not ready to handle that information. Nobody had trained her or offered her help for that. And I certainly wasn't ready or prepared really to get the help that I really needed. And it took me far too long to finally get to the place in my life where I was willing to get the help that I needed that has truly made a difference. But at that point, it was kind of too little too late.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. You're definitely not the first person that I have spoken to, even just this week, in the exact same position where, like you said, it just took a little too long to get the healing. And partly because you don't know any better, we don't talk about this enough in the church. And a lot of people are kind of trying to navigate this solo and figuring out how to heal on their own, like, you know, a DIY version of healing. And sadly, too many marriages are failing because of this exact thing. Is there something in your life you want to change? I sure hope so, because healthy people are always on the trajectory of learning and growing and healing. Maybe it's your negative thinking that's keeping you stuck. Maybe you find your emotions are overwhelming you with fear and hopelessness, shame, anxiety, or depression. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship with God. Maybe you're stuck in a pattern of unhealthy relationships. Maybe it's behaviors that are sabotaging your life, like an addiction or unhealthy habits. It could be your attitude, your mindset, or your perspective on life that needs to shift. Whatever it is, in order for change to happen, it has to start from the inside out. Taking the best of psychology and pairing it with God's word, my book Reset is all about getting healthy from the inside out. It's a book of 31 mindset shifts and sustainable practices that will guide you into the process of healing by giving you practical steps that will transform your life with change that lasts. No matter how many times you failed before, I want to help you do it differently this time. So grab a copy of Reset today and get ready to reset your life from the inside out. Check out DeborahFilleta.com/reset or grab your copy anywhere books are sold. So even in you speaking out and sharing, I think it shows people the reality of how things can go in the future if they don't take ownership today. And so I really appreciate that. I know it's a hard sacrifice. Tell me how you're doing on the healing of journey in your addiction today.
Much better. And so, you know, that when I look back at this past probably 18-month journey now from the start of separation, through the separation, through the divorce, the one thing that I can see clearly is God's hand at work in taking care of me through that journey. And so, you know, we're military. I'm military. We had moved out here about 6 months before we separated, moved to Texas. And so we had connected with a church out here, and it was through that church that I found a recovery group. And it was through a connection with a military chaplain who became a very good friend of mine, who I eventually opened up to. And he was the first person I had shared the full truth of everything with in my entire life. Wow. I never talked about this with my parents, my siblings. My wife knew, but knew very little, right, that had been kind of a dysfunctional way of handling that. And so through that process of opening up and kind of unburdening myself of this secret that I had carried for so long, that was the first step on the journey to recovery, and then getting in community. And that is my, you know, whenever I talk about this with other men, the one thing that I want to point out to them is that you can't do it on your own. And that was the thing that I was trying to do for so long. Right. I was honestly just afraid, right? The shame that you carry, and afraid to let other people in and see that. But it, once you get to the point where you're able to share with other people and be in a community that can support you and hold you accountable, then you can start on the recovery journey. Before that, you're really just, you know, you're pretending. You're not there yet.
Yeah. What does that community look like for you?
So there's a weekly group that meets down here at the church local to me. The ministry is called Be Broken. And so I've been going there for a little over a year now.
That's awesome.
And that has been super helpful. Just kind of that regular group. And then through that, found sort of an accountability partner, somebody that I could connect with closely. And so that kind of regular contact, regular unburdening of yourself, and then having those valuable discussions about people who are going through the same thing you're going through and how they're dealing with it, the things that they're experiencing, that was kind of the key.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. So you have been on a recovery journey for about 18 months?
Yeah, I would say probably closer to 13 or 14. You know, if I say official, you know,
yeah.
I've been involved in the group and connected with folks.
What do you think kept you motivated to keep recovering when you knew that your marriage wasn't going to survive?
So honestly, I would say, you know, I would love to be able to say, oh, it was my, you know, my faith and I wanted to do this for the right reasons. But quite honestly, for the first probably 6 months of that, it was probably to try and save my marriage. You know, that would have been the biggest motivator I had.
And rightly so. I mean, that's a big deal.
Absolutely. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that was the prime motivator. I knew that if there was going to be any chance to save it, I had to get healthy in this area first. And so, but once it became apparent that the marriage was going to end in divorce and there wasn't going to be another alternative, then I was able to kind of transition that motivation to myself and my girls, my daughters, that yeah, I knew, hey, if at some point you're going to be divorced, at some point you're going to have a life outside of this marriage construct that you've known for most of your adult life. And so if you're going to be healthy enough to have a relationship with somebody else in the future, if that's in the cards, or just to be a good father and friend and all of the other roles, you need to get healthy on your own and you need to fix that relationship that's quite honestly starts between, you know, with me and God. And that is the relationship that I needed to fix primarily first. And through recovery, that's the work that I've been doing.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. And I do think that is legitimately the most important thing. Like, how do you know you're ready? You engage in the healing process. You get on board the healing process. Somebody once asked me, how do you know that you're healthy enough to date? And I think that's a really good question. And the problem is there's not a real answer. How do you know you're healthy enough today? But I think of healing like an elevator. It's not necessarily about a floor that you get to and you're like, I've arrived. It's about the process itself of getting elevated. I'm getting higher and higher and higher. I'm engaging in this healing process. And you want to be on that process continually, but you also want to date somebody who is on that process as well. And is there a magical floor? Like, oh, I've arrived, you know, the presidential suite. Not necessarily. It's this never-ending process until we get to heaven. It's this process of sanctification and healing that go hand in hand. But to me, what's the most dangerous is when you stop, is when you get distracted, is when you get burnt out on life and you're not actually engaging in the healing process. You're not looking in on a regular basis. Because as soon as you overcome addiction, guess what? You better find something else to overcome. There's got to be something else that God is spotlighting in your life that he wants you to heal and work on. And there's going to be something in every stage. And as soon as that thing stops, then I get nervous. And so it sounds to me like you've kind of just started this process of figuring out what these feelings mean and paying attention to them and responding in healthy ways and dealing with the stress and figuring out how to be emotionally present and not numb with all of these peripheral things. And you know, people who have a tendency to numb have a tendency to numb. So if it's not porn, it could be something else. It could be Netflix. It could be food. It could be exercise, even though exercise is good, right? Even that can be taken to the extreme. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today, book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfileta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out.
So how are you doing with your tendency to numb?
That's a good question. Thankfully, I think I haven't found a new way to numb. Honestly, I think the biggest issue that I've dealt with is kind of a burnout with that. And especially because with the addiction recovery, I mean, it's definitely not something that I would say, hey, I'm done with this for the rest of my life, right? Like, this is an ongoing process. The healing is an ongoing process. And then, with everything that has gone on, with the separation, with the divorce, now a single parent and figuring out, what that means and how you do that kind of lifestyle. There are certainly days where I just feel like I am just worn out from wanting to make everything better, right? Like from wanting to fix things. Like there are certainly times where I'm just like, I just want to sit in this and not think about like being on this journey for the rest of my life. You know, there are certainly times where that feels like a monumental task.
Yeah.
And if I try and take it all in at once, it can be overwhelming as opposed to kind of looking at the next step or just where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And it is a one day at a time journey. Like, how can I be who God has called me to be today? Mm-hmm. How can I honor Him mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually today?
Right.
And that's really all we're guaranteed anyway. But it adds up.
Yes, absolutely. And those tiny victories is where I have seen progress, where I can, where you can look back and say, in this situation, I would have reacted this way in the past. That would have been the normal reaction that I would have had. And it wouldn't have been a healthy reaction. But this time I reacted this way.
Yeah.
And that was a lot better. And I came out the other side, in a better position. So that's a learning opportunity.
I'm curious, does your ex-wife have any awareness of your healing of journey that you've been on, your healing journey?
No. Well, it's tough to say. Maybe a little bit. I think she certainly sees that there is some difference. Unfortunately for us, we are not in a good place right now, just relationally. The divorce did not go well. It did not end well. We had to go to court and kind of go through that process. And so I think we are very much in a kind of standoffish, let's just, we're here to take care of the girls and communicate solely about them. And so that was something that I think I took far too personally at first during the separation as I was going through the recovery journey, because I certainly wanted her approval and her recognition of what I was doing, but also what God was doing in me. And I think mostly just because of the history that we had and the struggles that we had throughout the 18 years and the difficulty of our marriage, that was just not a place where she was at to see that. And I certainly probably was not helping, that in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, I think the hard part is 18 years of struggle compared to 18 months of recovery. It's still a difficult bridge to gap. Not that it's not extremely significant. It is. It's extremely significant. But I also think it takes time and consistency more than anything. Just time and consistency are the only two things that you have that can rebuild trust and show the people in your life, whether it's your ex-wife, whether it's your girls, whether it's your family and friends, that you really are committed to this. And those are the things that you cannot rush. Whether, we wish we could, but we can't.
Right.
And so I also think it's really insightful that you were able to recognize that you took things maybe a little too personally, because the shame buttons are big after you've spent 18 years not living your best life and causing hurt and pain. The shame buttons are easy to push. Even if it's as simple as, hey, can you do that differently? Hey, do you think you could take a left instead of a right? It doesn't seem that big of a deal. But when your shame buttons are big, everything presses on them. whether it's court, whether it's child custody issues, whether it's parenting differences, whether it's different preferences in life, everything can feel like it's pushing on those shame buttons. And that's what you have to be acutely aware of, because it's not that everybody is against you. It's that your shame buttons are pretty big right now, and you're in the process of dealing with those triggers and healing them so that they're not as prominent in your life, and people can't push on them as easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I also recognized about myself going through that period was, and even very recently too, you know, post-divorce, is that there was a sense of pride that I had, that I wanted validation for what I was doing. I wanted, you know, from her especially, but even from other people, that like I wanted the validation of the work that I was putting in, and look at all of the things that I'm doing, and look at, you know, how hard I'm working and all of this. But that was really, you know, I was seeking validation from men, and not, you know, men, women, but from people, and not from an understanding of who I was in Christ and the validation that I have from God, and that approval that overrides all of the other things. And, you know, and so it took me a while to get to the place where, and I still struggle with this for sure. That is absolutely one of the things that I still struggle with, is that sense of pride, but get to the place where I could accept what God says about me, and that is more important than what other people think of me, even the people closest to me. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm very proud of you on your healing journey. And again, like we said, this is a journey, like a legitimate journey. You have come onto the elevator, and you're going to reach higher levels, and it's going to get hard sometimes when you don't have that approval and when nobody's noticing but you and God. And in fact, sometimes people might even think that you've stalled or that you're not growing, but you know that you are, and you know that the journey that God is calling you to. And so, you know, back to your original question, I really believe that at least a year of recovery is an important number. At least 1 year porn-free and really just seeking out living life the way that God has called you to live it, making sure there's no other numbing factors that come up in your life, being emotionally aware, emotionally healthy, working with a counselor as well, and just kind of processing some of those things from the past and some of the cycles and patterns and defense mechanisms, and giving yourself a good year of healing. And then I feel like at the end of that year, I personally think it's important to at least be 1 year removed from a divorce, if possible, from like a legal divorce. And sometimes those coincide, right? Sometimes the healing coincides with that. Sometimes in a case like yours, you've been on the healing process, but just now the divorce became official. So I would give yourself some time just to have some distance from that legal date until you start dating again, and using this as an opportunity to keep working and healing. And that doesn't mean you can't build community and build friendships. But as far as like considering something serious or reconsidering marriage, I would definitely say at least a year after things are official. Right. And just giving yourself the time you need to become who God has called you to be. So are you working with a counselor by chance?
I am. Yep. I meet with them on a weekly basis right now.
Good.
We spend about 30 to 45 minutes each week.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear it. And if you ever need extra support, you know, I'd be happy to give you a discount with someone from our team or anything that might help you along on the healing journey. But thank you so much for that question and for your courage to share the journey that you're on, and kind of help motivate others as well. If you could say a word to somebody out there who might be in your shoes maybe 5 years ago, and they're kind of in that middle ground of like, they know there's a struggle and they're just not sure how to navigate it, what would you say to them?
Find a group, find someone, you know, in the local church, ideally in your church, find a group and get connected in community with people who are doing the same recovery journey, and tell your story. Don't hold on to the, secrets. Don't hold on to the shame, but, you know, share that, because what you will find is that, one, there's a lot more people than you realize who are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And two, that once you let go of that secret, once you open up to people and let people in, you'll realize that they care and want to help, and that they're not going to treat you like some kind of outcast, but there's going to be help there for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andrew, and God bless you on your healing journey. Keep us posted.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
You too.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about all of those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, as well as the Debra Falada Counselors Network, over at my blog, truelovedates.com, or my website, debrafalada.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Debra Falada. Send me a DM and tell me your story. If you have a question on your mind or a guest suggestion, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/talktome and let me know what's on your mind. I'm Debra Falada, and it was so great being with you today. I can't wait to talk with you again next week. I'll see you then.